Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 34, Fall of America, Rise of the Saints.
Thank you very much. God bless you. I'm honored to be here to serve you today. And by the way, I do all those things too, Stan, all that research and digging and looking in the Greek and but a lot of times the Lord just speaks to me and He keeps me in line. And I really can't claim any credit for this because when I was doing those things that Stan was talking about without God's word of knowledge and wisdom, I had it all figured out wrong. And basically I had to start from scratch. Like he said, about a year after I came to the Lord, this gift came upon me and the first revelation I got was that the whole church wasn't flying away pre-tribulation rapture. And my church was having an argument over that at the time. And I asked the Lord about it. And that's the first word of knowledge I got. And He confirmed it very quickly. We're going to have to get started here because I got a long ways to go, okay? God bless you. Stan's already talked about his revelation about digging me back up. He had buried me, I think. But he dug me back up. Anyway, Sean also had a dream last year I thought I'd mention to you that I had actually forgotten about until after Stan called me and shared his dream with me. And Sean had a dream that I'd called his dad with a new revelation from God, quote, on the judgment of America spoken of by Dimitri Dudeman. And that was back in the fall of 2003. Then Stan called and gave me his suit dream, and I told him that I would I'd pray about it and see what the Lord told me. I knew that I was going because God had given me actually two dreams. But that night I prayed and I asked the Lord to give me a dream to confirm if this was His direction for me to do this because I was working very hard on a lot of other projects at the time, and I really didn't want to back up. So when I asked the Lord, I either had a dream or a vision, I don't know which, because it was kind of in that twilight state, you know, before going to sleep. But I was standing on the East Coast with my third child, Nathan. And Nathan decided he wanted to go for a swim. And I thought, well, he'll go in the Atlantic Ocean, you know. But no, he had to go in the Gulf of Mexico, so he took a little... It was just like a walk across the street. He went in the Gulf of Mexico and took a swim. Well, after that, he went over to the Pacific and took a swim. And I noticed everywhere he swam, you know how it is in a dream or a vision, you can see vast areas at one time. And I noticed everywhere he swam, there was a pipeline leading from the water inland to hotel rooms, or hotels, actually. And that's the only thing I really saw there. But the Lord spoke to me about this dream. He spoke to me that the reason it was my third child, Nathan, is because this would be a third fruit of mine. And the only organization I have a third fruit with at this particular time is the Prophecy Club because I've already been on one tour and one conference. So I realized that the Lord was really using this to show me that, sure enough, we were going to have some more fruit, and it would be in the hotel conference rooms, and that God was going to pipe the people into the hotel conference rooms. And you know, the waters represent the peoples, nations, tribes, and tongues in that area, so in the Bible and Revelation. So I took this as a confirmation. However, when I received this, I then remembered that I'd had this same thing as a dream about a month and a half before this. So it was like Joseph said, in that the dream is doubled, it means it's surely going to come to pass. It's ordained to the Lord, it's surely going to come to pass. So I knew what God was saying to me. He knows with me, He knows two dreams mean I know it's going to happen. So it was a strong confirmation to me. And then Stan, you know, asked me to pray about what I would share. And when I did, the Lord spoke to me and He said, the fall of America and rise of the saints. And at that time is when I actually remembered Sean's dream about the new revelation from God on the fall of America concerning the time spoken of by Dimitri Dudeman. That's what he said. So the next night, I believe it was, I was praying and I asked the Lord to please give me strength. Strength in my mind, strength in my body, because I was just tired. I've been going for a long time. Hadn't had any days off in quite a while. Staying very, very busy. And I just asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if you really, really want me to do this, please give me some strength in my body and in my mind. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, I was wide awake. And I mean, I just woke up wide awake. I felt something in the room and wide awake, but I didn't open my eyes. And I felt this presence come into the room. And then I couldn't open my eyes. And the presence actually came over and sat down on my bed next to me, so much so that I felt the mattress push down, you know, mash in with the presence. And again, I couldn't open my eyes or didn't open my eyes. I couldn't figure out why. But at that time, before I could do anything, it was like this, just waves of glory started washing up and down my body, you know, just up and down, up and down, up and down. It was so exhilarating that I just cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, what is this, you know? And what came to my mind was the prayer I prayed when I went to bed. Lord, you're going to have to strengthen me if you really want me to do this. And I really did feel strengthened. The presence left. I didn't go to sleep the rest of the night. But in the morning, I was feeling strong. By the way, when this was happening, I saw a vision of myself laying in the bed, and my limbs were like strengthening. I could see it, you know. So that was like really about 5 confirmations that the Lord really wanted us to do this. So I'm totally convinced the Lord's going to use this. Let's start on our subject here. 2 delays in the fall of the United States. I'm going to share this with you, which the Lord shared with me starting in about 1998. He started sharing this with me. Leading up to the year 2000, there were many true dreams, visions, prophecies, revelations, Bible codes of an imminent pre-tribulation fall of the United States. And I think before 2000, a good many prophetic type people were convinced that America was in imminent danger. And the Prophecy Club did send out people like Dimitri Dudeman, who I highly respect. And I've received, you know, rebukes from people since then because I was pushing Dimitri Dudeman at the time, and people said that he was a false prophet. And I'm here to tell you that he wasn't a false prophet, and I'm going to share some things with you to prove that. But all the prophets that went out at that time, I can say this, that actually in 1998, I knew that those prophecies would be delayed because the Lord showed it to me. And He showed it to me that it was going to be delayed in the Bible. It was already in there for thousands of years that it would be delayed. God can change or delay whatever He speaks to you through a dream or a vision or a prophecy or a Bible code. He can delay it. I will say this, though, that I have discovered that in the case of a delay, when it actually becomes manifest, it will happen as and when the Bible says it will happen. Now, some people say, well, we can pray this thing away and it'll never come. But that's not true. The fall of America is written in the Bible so many places that it is absolutely going to come to pass. The Word is like a rock. He wants us to be sure that we can believe what it says and not to ever doubt. Psalm 119 and 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." So what God says in his word, that's final. That's not a warning. It's going to come to pass. 2 Peter 1:19 says, "We have a word of prophecy made more sure." And that is the scriptures. There's one thing we can be sure of, even more so than the prophet's warnings, is the word of God. Because if there is a delay, it will be written in there. And the final act will be fulfilled in there too. So, and not only that, the Bible says that the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. If you study the history of the Bible, you know what's going to happen. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And you also know when people go astray, because when they start adding to the Word or making their wishful thinking doctrines, you know when they're going astray, because they're going astray of history. Because the things that have been are the things that shall be. The Bible in history, the Bible history, is a word of prophecy more sure. Both Israel and the United States were chosen by God to represent Him to the world. And both have fallen into apostasy. And God's got a particular way of dealing with apostasy. Many lesser times and six more prominent times, God has raised up beast empires to actually conquer Israel and bring her to her knees, so to speak, bring her to crucifixion, so to speak, and repentance, so to speak. Egypt and Assyria and Babylon and Media-Persia and Greece and Rome, these were all world-ruling empires that just happened to conquer little bitty Israel that you could almost throw a rock across. Seems like they're very, very important. And God always takes credit for raising up these beast empires. Okay? Well, something happened at the end of the Old Testament. There was a change, right? And at the end of the Old Testament, we found out because they didn't believe the prophet and the Son of God that the Father sent, that He broke them off of the olive tree called All Israel. And He grafted in the believers who He now called sons of Abraham through faith in Christ Jesus. And He grafted in the church into that olive tree in Romans chapter 11, which He called all Israel. So we now are members of Israel. And our spiritual father is Abraham. We're not physical members of Israel, and we're not physical Israelites, but we are spiritual Israelites in the church. So if God dealt with Israel with these world-ruling individual empires, God chose individual empires to conquer an individual empire, and that was Israel. If God dealt with them in that way, how would He deal with the church, who is now a worldwide corporate empire? Because the Bible does say in Peter that we are a holy nation, a chosen generation. However, we're not an individual nation. We're a corporate nation that covers the whole globe. So if He used individual beast kingdoms to conquer an individual people of God, what would He do in the New Testament? And the fact is that God has chosen to use a corporate worldwide empire to persecute the saints and bring them to repentance and crucify their flesh. That's His plan. And literally these world-ruling empires here, Egypt and Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, He's used every one of those in a last empire with seven heads and ten horns. And these are the heads we're talking about right here. Seven heads and ten horns. But it's a world-ruling empire that has swallowed up all of the seed of all these previous empires. And it's a world-ruling empire so it can bring the world church to their cross. So what we have here now is a seven-head, ten-horned empire. But what the Lord has shown me is that each of these individual empires, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome, are types and shadows of what the end time empire will do. You can go back and study these, and the history of these will be fulfilled in the last empire. Now, this is something interesting. From the time the northern ten tribes rebelled under Jeroboam and became independent of Judah, one or the other was at war almost every 17 years for a period of 15 cycles, after which Israel around 690 BC and then Judah around 682 BC, were conquered by the Assyrian beast. Now remember what I said, the Assyrian beast, the actions of the Assyrian beast will be fulfilled in the last beast. Now look at the parallel between Israel and the United States here. From the time the U.S. became independent of Britain, forming the 13 original colonies, she too has been in a war every 17 years, almost every 17 years, for a period of 15 cycles, until the Grenada War in 1983. The interesting thing is that even the exceptions to the rules of Israel and the United States in these war cycles, even the exceptions are the same. They're common. Because in the 6th and 10th cycle, there was no war. But then from 1983 to 2000 would have been the 17 years in the 16th cycle, the next cycle. And in that cycle is when Israel and Judah fell. Also in that cycle, Jerusalem was spared. Notice the way I've spelled Jerusalem here, J-E-R, capital U-S-A-L-E-M. Now most people think that's a gimmick, but it's not, because the Lord has shown me several prophecies that are being fulfilled between Jerusalem and the United States of America. Some of you have heard prophecies recently, in the last few years, about warning the United States not to be involved in dividing Jerusalem for the Palestinians, because that America itself would be divided if they did that. And that is exactly what the Bible says. I can show it to you in the Scriptures. And that will happen. In that case, Jerusalem does stand for the USA. Dimitri Dudeman had a revelation similar to this too, that when he was standing in Israel, that he was standing on the property of the United States. You need a confirmation for this, of course. Well, during the 16th cycle for the United States around 1987, I acted out a prophecy of delay. You know how prophets, many times the Lord will use them to act out a prophecy. Well, this happened to me. In 1987, I started receiving a lot of pain, and I started passing a lot of blood. And I asked the Lord, what did this mean? And what I heard was cancer. And then the next day I got a confirmation, because I went across town to a Christian bookstore that I never go to. I usually go to the one closer to me. I went across town, and there were two ladies there who had been praying for me, unbeknownst to myself. I had told no one about this. I hadn't even told my wife about it. She found out by accident later. But at that time that I walked into this Christian bookstore, these two ladies came up to me and said, "We've been praying for ministers that we know of, and we prayed for you, and the Lord spoke to us loud and clear, and He said that you were having a war with a spirit of cancer, but that you would win." And I thanked him. I told him it was a confirmation, and I thanked him for the encouragement, and I never had any doubts that I would win, because for 30 years, that's the only way I have conquered sickness, in myself, in my children, raised five children, and they all have always been healed. So God is faithful to take care of us. Anyway, driving home from that bookstore, I thought, when I get home, I'm going to ask the Lord to give me a word concerning this. Let me tell you something. You don't really need a word if God's already given you one from the Scriptures, right? You know what He says in the Scriptures? That by the stripes of Jesus you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. You don't really need another word, do you? And basically, that's what I found out. Because I went home and I decided I'm going to flip my Bible open and stick my finger down and see what God shows me concerning this situation. And I did. Flipped my Bible open, stuck my finger down. It fell right on, "Thou shalt die and not live." 2 Kings 20 and verse 1. Literally, I put my finger down right on "die." "Thou shalt die and not live." And I thought, wow, isn't that something? I said, Lord, this is in agreement with Your Word to me. This isn't in agreement with Your promises to me. You've taught me not to accept things like this. Before I go too far in that direction, I want to share with you that this verse is used of King Hezekiah at the exact time that Jerusalem was threatened with an invasion by the Assyrian beast, but was delayed. at the exact time. Now, I didn't know this at the time. All I knew was I had my mind on what to do with this cancer, you know. But later, the Lord pointed me back to it, and He showed me the whole scenario. It was so beautiful how the Lord pointed it out to me. Anyway, we have a confirmation right there in the text, 19 and 32. 2 Kings 19 and 32. Thus saith the Lord, concerning the king of Assyria, who shall not come into the city nor shoot an arrow there. So I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you've taught me not to depart from the Word, and I believe you're trying me, and I don't see any reason to depart from the Word now. I've always received healing from you before, and I don't see why I wouldn't receive it now. Not walking in any willful disobedience. So I'm asking you to give me another word. So sure enough, I flipped my Bible open, stuck my finger down. It fell right on Psalm 118 and 17. I shall not die but live. Stuck my finger right in the middle of that text. I shall not die but live. And I said, thank you, Lord. I'll take that one. And I did. Praise be to God. And I was healed because I stood on that. And I stood on the verses that I'd stood on all of my Christian life. And the symptoms just gradually left. And they were gone. Well, the same thing was happening in this text to Hezekiah, you know, and he got the same kind of an answer. What God was showing me is He was delaying my end, not only my end later, but He showed me that America's end was being delayed too. Well, Hezekiah got the same answer. 2 Kings 20 and 6, it says, I will add unto thy days 15 years, which means, of course, a delay to the end, right? 15 years, and I will deliver this city. So he's comparing his life and the city, exactly what the Lord was doing with me. I will deliver this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And so the attack on Jerusalem, with capital USA in the middle, was delayed. And that's what the Lord showed me later, that He was making this plain for me. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day? Well, the Lord pointed this out to me, that this was significant for us too, because at that time we hadn't come to the third day. The third day, of course, a day is as unto the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The third day, if you count from the last Adam, comes up to the year 2000, the real year 2000, which in my opinion happened in September of 2001, okay? But be that as it may, you have to come to the year 2000 in order to come to the third day. The days in the Scriptures are counted from the first Adam, and they're counted from the last Adam, 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus Christ. The prophetic days, they're all through the Scriptures. They all give timing. You know, we've come to the morning of the seventh day from the first Adam, but we've come to the morning of the third day from the last Adam. So, and the sign was, of course, that the shadow of the sundial went backwards 10 steps or 10 degrees on the dial of Ahaz, right? Delaying time, delaying the end. And at that time, we know that this really happened, because at that time, Hezekiah and the Romans and the Egyptians, they all changed their calendar from 360 to 365 days a year. An interesting thing happened. So I realized later that that was a delay in the judgment of the United States, exactly like Hezekiah's healing was a delay for the judgment of Jerusalem. So 15 years later, symptoms came back to me. They weren't the same symptoms, but they were symptoms of death. And at that time, I considered it to be something like cardiovascular disease. We had people in our assembly that were experts at this, and they called it that. I don't accept disease because it's not ours, you know. We've been healed. But I had all the symptoms. My right side was going cold, and I was I couldn't get warmed up. My whole right side, this hand would be so much colder than this hand. Circulation was bad, and my heart was doing flip-flops, and I just generally didn't feel good. This was 15 years. My wife pointed out to me, David, we're right at 15 years from when the Lord healed you before. And I thought to myself, now wait a minute, God gave Hezekiah 15 years. And I went back to the Lord. I said, Lord, are you telling me that the rest of that prophecy was for me too, and that you were only giving me 15 years? and that now I'm going to die? And the Lord gave me an affirmative on that. And I thought, wow, isn't that something? I thought on it for a minute. And I said, well, Lord, I don't see any reason yet that I should deny your word. You tell us to hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, because he is faithful that promised. And I don't see any reason not to believe that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. So I don't accept that one either. And you know, some people would say, you shouldn't argue with God like that, David. But actually, I think the Lord does want us to argue with him when he's trying us like he tried Abraham. And he never wants us to depart from the word. He will see if we will be moved from the word. And so what happened there was I was healed again. And I was acting out a second delay for the fall of America. And the Lord showed me this. Interestingly enough, both Joel and Amos likened the Assyrian invasion to a locust invasion that would burn the land. And a lot of people read Joel, and I hear expositors using it all the time as though it was actual locust invasion, which it wasn't, because locusts don't burn the land, they eat it, right? But actually, the locusts in the Bible stand for the Assyrian invasion. And Joel called this time the latter rain. You know, in our time, the latter rain. In their time, in the earlier time, it was the former rain. But in our time, it was the latter rain. And Amos called it the latter growth. And of course, the latter rain brings the latter growth. So we're talking about the same time between Joel and Amos. But through intercession, both Joel and Amos, the threatened invasion was delayed twice. Amos, in his text, tells us very plainly that it was delayed twice. Amos 7, 1 through 6. He says, thus the Lord showed me, and behold, he formed the locusts in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. When they made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord, forgive, I beseech thee, how shall Jacob stand, for he is small. Forgive the partial text here, but I would have had a lot more slides if I hadn't used them. The point is here that God delayed it because Jacob was small. And actually, this is a much more plausible reason why God chose to not bring the judgment upon America at the time. There was repentance, but it wasn't the kind of repentance that most people thought should happen. So God, this is the first delay here. How shall Jacob stand? For he is small. And the Lord said, it shall not be, saith the Lord. That's the first delay. Then the Lord called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and would have eaten up the land. Then said I, O Lord, I beseech thee, how shall Jacob stand? For he is small. This also shall not be, saith the Lord. And there was a second delay. Jacob is small. What he was saying was Jacob was too immature to have stood that kind of a judgment on his land at that time. And the church obviously is in that bad of a situation that it would not stand an invasion.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.